If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept
the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen.
Amen.
I assume I'm not alone here this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive overeaters at this meeting other than myself?
Hi, me. I'm over here.
Hey, everybody. Good to know I'm not alone here. Nice. Okay, so please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual WeCare book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the WeCare book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list will be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Carrie,
welcome.
Hello. What is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle...
I'm sorry, Carrie, we can't hear you. I think you may need to unmute.
I can hear.
Can you hear me now?
Still can't hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear you, Carrie. Yeah,
go ahead, Carrie. Okay.
All right. How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is... that abstinence.
I think we're having some audio difficulty.
To freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of the service came from OA Suffolk County, New York sponsor guide. I'll pass.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you. Would someone please read The Only Requirement?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
Oops, that's the only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements, in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon, evening, of those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance in participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thank you.
Thank you. And would someone please read Reflections to the Newcomer.
Hi, I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes,
thank you. Okay, I apologize, I'm on vacation and it looks like for some reason I can't get my camera to work. So is it okay to read without the camera?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Okay. Great. Rena D. from Maryland's Compulsive Overeater. Reflections
Hi, Rena.
To the Newcomer.
Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to OA How. We were all so glad that you become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is the disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord. Even with many things going on around us, therefore, if there's a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there's a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Quote, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And that's from the doctor's opinion in the big book. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. Quote, a body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is powerful restorative, end quote. And that's from the family afterword in the big book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We will always be here for you. And with that, I'll
Thanks,
pass.
Rena. Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena. I think we skipped the how concept. My apologies. Would someone please read the how concept?
That was the how concept.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, okay. So I just got a note that we skipped the how concept. So we're on reflections to the newcomer then. My apologies, I'm a little distracted here with the audio settings. Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
I'm sorry, that was my mistake. I thought.
Go ahead, Pamela.
Page behind. What's new? All right, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book 26, Roman numeral 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. The sponsor cannot give up what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A bodily badly burned by alcohol. A bodily badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The Family Afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll all be here for you.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks,
Pamela. Welcome.
Good stuff. Okay, and would someone please read an excerpt from Step 2 of the OA 12 and 12? Do we have someone to read?
Patricia signed up for that, and she just went offline, so.
Okay. Can we get a volunteer to read an excerpt from Step 2 of the OA 12 and 12, please? Would anyone like to volunteer or to read?
This is Debbie. I can do that.
Terrific. Go ahead, Debbie. Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Let me get to it. My name is Debbie. I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie. Welcome.
When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into the objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping that someday we could have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain. Then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder and harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. And I pass.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Okay, would someone please, did we just do the chapter 5? Sorry, I just lost track. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, this is Karen, and I'm a compulsive overeater. This is my first time reading. Hi. Thank you. This is my first time reading in this meeting, and I was wondering if I substitute alcohol and food, or if I read it as it's written.
I believe it's read as written. Is that right, background team here?
That's correct.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, go
okay.
ahead.
Thank you. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you were ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I pass.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Can hear you, Rebecca.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, my name is Nancy P. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you.
The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And next, I'm going to read the 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon OA unity. Number 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
And next are the tools of recovery.
Thank you. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
No.
Not really.
Yes. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Looking for a timekeeper tonight? Is there anyone willing to volunteer to be the timekeeper tonight?
Hey, Revital, it's Megan. I can do that for you.
Thank you very much, Megan. Wonderful.
You're welcome.
Okay, so participants will receive time prompts via chat. And so first up, we have the abstinence plan of eating.
And we still need a volunteer from a sponsor to do the plan of eating and the service tool.
Okay, so can we get a volunteer to pitch for plan of eating, please, to read and pitch?
They can also raise their hand if they like to indicate.
Yes. And so in the participant area, is it in the chat or Howard, can you? Sorry, I've lost my screen is disheveled here, so I've lost the.
That's in the participants panel.
Okay. Is there anyone who is willing to volunteer? Just click on the participants handle and choose raise hand.
I'll do it. This is Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Please go ahead.
You're welcome. It's not my favorite tool. Plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. I'm going to explain it, but I don't have any of my tools here. For me, I use a digital scale to weigh my food, And there's a button on there says T-A-R-E, and that will bring your scale to zero. And then you put, like, I get 4 ounces of protein, so I'd put my 4 ounces of protein. I'd zero out, put my starch, and I'd zero out and put my vegetables, the amount that I get. I also use a measuring cup, and that's for measuring my dry goods, my rice and my oatmeal, and I make sure that it's level so that I get the right portion. And what's inside the cup is mine, what outside the cup is not, or the utensil that I take it out with, you don't lick it like I used to. And we use measuring spoons, which is a half, which I get a half tablespoon. And I'll take my little spatula, my rubber spatula, and make sure I get all the half tablespoon of butter out. I use a telephone to call my sponsor and three others. I use my telephone to contact my sponsor when I made a mistake, or when when I find out that somebody in my household has eaten what I had planned. So then I have to call and change it. I also live in an assisted living, and I don't always have the means to get what I measured. So I have to report that. Okay, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. 5, unless advised otherwise by our doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredient label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is decision to take it. when I first heard about OA HOW, it was a girlfriend, and I was watching her. And every time I would see her, I'd ask her what she was doing, because she was losing weight. And she had this spiritual glow about her. And she spoke more calmly than I had heard her before. Then that took me 5 years doing that, because I thought this was a rigid program, and I wasn't about to start weighing and measuring my food, telling somebody what I'm eating and what I'm not eating, and not making these decisions on my own. Like, I'm a grown adult, I should be able to follow a doctor's food plan, but that's not true, because I've had doctors' food plans before and I couldn't follow them. I did for a while and lost some weight, but as soon as some occasion came, I was right back up into those crazy foods that would make me crazy. I take a multivitamin every day, and I drink 64 ounces of water. And what I do is I fill this 24 ounce cup of water, and I sip on it all day long, 3 or 4 times a day. And that gets me hydrated and doesn't, you know, because I live in Florida and it's hot year round here, so I need to be hydrated. Let's see, foods containing sugar, if it's listed 5th or beyond, I try to avoid those, because sugar is an addiction for me, and I don't drink alcohol. I'm a recovered alcoholic for 44 years, and so I try to avoid those that product, the sugar and the with the product, and I think, I don't know if my time is up or not. 1 minute left. Okay. And I follow a food, I have a nutritionist, and I keep in constant contact with her. She knows what my weight is. She knows what I need to do if I'm having trouble keeping on that maintenance, and if I'm having trouble keeping it low enough, then she'll adjust my meal plan, and I send that to my sponsor via email. And other than that, you know, I never thought that I just celebrated 3 years, and I've been weighing and measuring for 4 years, and I would never guess that I'd be this long. And I appreciate you let me do service in this meeting. And I think I have one more reading coming up. Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
My pleasure.
Sorry. Now we've got sponsorship, please. Would someone please read?
Hey, all. It's Megan in Virginia.
Hey, and Megan, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence, 12 steps, and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of the OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A HOW sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for a newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string being that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help others. I'm going to remember to start timing myself. Okay. There we go. Hi, this is Megan, still a compulsive overeater, still in Virginia. I found this reading, which I really propose. It said, Dr. Bob did not need me for his spiritual instruction. He had already more of that than I. What he did need when we first met was deflation at depth, and the understanding that only one drunk can give another. What I needed was the humility of self-forgetfulness and the kinship with another human being of my own kind. Bob, Dr. Bob and Bill were the first sponsee. I guess they kind of sponsored one another at the beginning. And they gave each other what Bill calls kinship and service. And that's what we do. It's not about, for my sponsees, we don't have all the answers, right? I don't have some secret book that I'm reading out of, that I'm sharing my wisdom with my sponsees. That doesn't exist. all I am doing is listening, maybe giving some feedback if I hear something, maybe a pattern, and offering maybe experience of something, if I've had that experience, something that's worked for me, and just being there, being the witness and being the accountability. And that's it. I have no answers. I don't have direction for my sponsees. And my sponsor doesn't have it for me either. It's interesting. My sponsor and I have a similar life situation going on right now. And we both are kind of supporting each other through it. Neither of us has the answer. We're both kind of feeling along blindly, doing the best we can to focus on, to focus on the solution of the 12 steps, to focus on the solution of the structure of the HOW program, and the solution of knowing that God's plan is better than our plan. And that's it. That's the deal. So I'm so grateful for sponsorship. I'm grateful for all of the web of sponsorship that we have, that we all work together to work this program, and the beauty of the we of the program. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you all for letting me share.
Thanks Megan. Megan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wonderful. Okay. Okay. So for the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only how long in OA and HOW, how long abstinent in OA and HOW, and how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing *9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Okay, and now we'll move through the line.
Megan?
Hey y'all, so this is Megan. I'm in Virginia. I'm an abstinent compulsive overeater and a very grateful OA housekeeper. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program. I do have an opening. It is a very early Eastern Standard Time, and it's going to be for a newcomer. It's just to get somebody started, so a temp opening. And my phone number is 757-375-3102. I will put that in the chat, and I pass.
Lewis?
Carlos Over Food. My name is Lewis, and I came into OA HOW in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence dates from January 3rd of last year, and I have a weight loss of over 90 pounds from my top weight. Lewis from Maryland.
Mary? Mary, go ahead. We'll come back to you, Mary. Kelly?
Hi, this is Kelly, compulsive overeater in Southern California, and I came to OA HOW in October of 2019. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 27, 2019, and I am maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. Kelly in California.
Ruth?
This is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm a two-hour OA HOW sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss.
Jan?
Hi, this is Jan. I'm a food addict bulimic from Philadelphia. My back-to-back abstinence date is recommitted October 30th, 2015. And I'm down 70 pounds from my high weight and up about 5 from my low weight. Thank you.
Marlena.
Hi, I'm Marlena, and I'm a two-hour How sponsor. My recommitted abstinent date is 4/22/20, and I do have an opening. My phone number is 510-306-6234, and that's Pacific time, and the best call time would be about 6:15 Pacific time.
Rebecca S.
My name is Rebecca S. and I'm a compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is January 30th of 2020, and I currently have released 60 pounds.
Mary, we'll give it a try again.
Okay, got me?
Yep,
I can hear me. Okay, this is Mary G., compulsive overeater in St. Paul. My back-to-back abstinence day is November 1st, 2012, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Christina.
Hey, everybody. It's Christina in New Mexico. I'm an OA How 2-hour sponsor, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss as a compulsive overeater, and my abstinence date is like June 2017. So glad to be here.
Pamela.
Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. I'm a 2-hour house sponsor. I came to OA over 40 years ago, and I lost over 100 pounds. I was there for the vanity, not the sanity. And then I left that for over 20 years, and I came back to OA How January 22nd, 2016. And my recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. And I don't have an opening, and my weight loss or gain, I keep that between my higher power, my doctor, my sponsor, and my nutritionist. And I'll pass.
Deborah?
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came to OA in February of 2005. I started working the How concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I'm down 120 pounds, and I pass.
Maureen?
Hi, everyone. It's Maureen in Virginia, and I'm an OA How sponsor. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA How in January of 2020, became fully abstinent, and I have so far released 50 pounds. With that, I pass.
Rebecca B.
Hi, this is Rebecca B. I'm a compulsive overeater in Ohio and a sponsor in the 2-hour OA How program. My most recent abstinence dates from February 9th of this year. And I have lost about 70 pounds in program and have been maintaining a healthy body weight for the last month and a half. I do have an opening. It'd be for 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m. Eastern time. We can talk details about it, but my phone number is 440-567-6537. Again, this is Rebecca B. in Ohio, 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m.-ish. Sponsee opening for someone who's new or relatively new, 440-567-6537. Thanks.
Tamara?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I found OA How in April of 2017. I was given the miracle of abstinence. Was relieved of over 75 pounds for almost 3 years. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I passed. Thank you.
Nancy?
Hello, everyone. This is Nancy Dean, compulsive overeater and 2-hour house sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is July the 3rd, 2018, and I've been relieved of 100 pounds.
Heather?
Hi, everyone. My name is Heather. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Texas. I came into Howe in August of 2019. My recommitted back-to-back abstinence dates, May 14th of 2020. I'm on maintenance. I'm down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. I do not have any openings, but I enjoy phone calls. So I leave my phone number there. Thanks.
Jana?
Hi, I'm Jana B., compulsive overeater and restrictor in California. I'm a two-hour How format sponsor. My recommitted abstinence date is August 4th, 2014. And I've been maintaining about a 20-pound weight loss. And is that everything? I think so. Okay, I pass. Thanks.
Jane?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater and sponsor in the 2-Hour How program. I came into the program after a long time in AA and not quite as long in regular OA. I came to How September 19th of last year, and I have lost about 14 pounds, and I pass.
Elizabeth?
Hi, everybody. My name is Elizabeth. I am an abstinent recovered compulsive overeater and food addict. I live in Cincinnati. I came into OA in 2001. I first came to How in 2005. I have a recommitment to OA How abstinence as of July 23rd, 2019, and I am maintaining a weight loss of between 75 and 80 pounds. And I pass. Thank you.
Erlinda?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago, 2-Hour OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence is February 11th, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Bryn on the phone.
Hello.
Go ahead, Bryn.
This is, Bryn. I'm a 2-hour sponsor from Wisconsin. My most recent abstinence date is October 2004. I was recently 554 pounds. I gave away 335 pounds with the traditional OA and other and a traditional program. I came into OA How in March 2004. I've been abstinent since October 2007. And my weight right now, I'm maintaining according to my doctor's instructions. So thank you.
Howard?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive eater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have a little over 19 years of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Anybody on the phone that's a sponsor? Anybody on the phone?
Star 6 to unmute.
All right. My name is Carrie. I'm a 2-hour How sponsor. I do have an opening for 6 Central Time. I'll put my number in the chat again. And I have been relieved of 35 pounds. And I've had a couple slips, but I'm still working the program. And I saw there's a somebody else on the phone that is a sponsor.
Yes. Hi, this is Patty from Illinois. And I'm a 2-hour OA House sponsor following this format. My recommitted abstinence date is September the 30th, 2017. And I've been relieved of 32 pounds. And that's Patty from Illinois.
If there's nobody left, Revitel, you can go ahead.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revi Tal, calling in from Toronto. And I walked into the OA rooms in December of 2004, was introduced to the two-hour OA How program on May 23rd of 2017, where I became abstinent and continue to abstain from compulsive overeating to this day by the grace of God and the power of this program. And my body has released just under 100 pounds, and really grateful to be here tonight. Thank you, everybody. Wonderful. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set aside any member, we should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Okay, so next we move to anonymity, please. Would someone please read and share on anonymity?
I'm Carlos over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. Excuse me.
Hey, Lewis. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in effect, help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come to OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We're supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We're encouraged to speak of our pain, and we're lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come, share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here,
here.
Well, anonymity is a really important tool for my recovery. I came to the rooms of OA How completely and totally broken by food. And I'd never been to a How meeting before. I came in, and because of this principle, I felt at home, and I felt welcome, and I knew immediately that I was in the right place. I had never really shared with anybody the depth of the pain and shame that I was in because of food addiction. And that's what's so remarkable about this tradition, is that it gives us the comfortability to be able to share exactly who I am and where I've been, and it teaches me how to trust other people as well, because gossip has no place here, and judgment has no place here as well, and that is solely due to this principle. And so every time I interact with a member of this program, I know and have confidence that whenever I can share anything that's going on with me, and I do, because I know full well that whatever I share and whatever they share stays with the phone call. And that having that freedom is incredibly healing. And it also teaches me the importance of recovery being unbridled possibility. Because I can share, I can explore, I can recognize, I can understand so much that with other people that I could never do on my own. And so it is due to this principle that I'm literally, it gives me the strength to be set free. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
Great. Would someone please read and pitch on telephone calls?
Yes, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi, welcome. Debbie. Welcome.
Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In HOW, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day. 1 to our sponsor, and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. For me, the telephone is, you know, when I first came into program, and it wasn't something that I was used to using the way it was intended. I talked on the phone all the time to my friends, and we gossiped and talked about other people and how great we were and how horrible they were. And I remember very clearly being in regular OA, and I went to a retreat that was traditional OA members as well as HOW members, and in my small group, there were a couple of HOW people, and one of them called me afterwards, and I was just like shocked. I was like, why are you calling me? Oh, I don't want to talk to you. You know, our time together is over. That's for meetings only. And, you know, I didn't say that to her, but I kept the phone call really brief. And then when I came into HOW and I realized that I got to call people, and not just one, I got to call 3, including 4, if you count my sponsor. And I was okay with calling my sponsor because I saw that as a purpose. I knew what to say because I had to read stuff to them. But just calling somebody randomly that I didn't know was really difficult for me. And I remember, one of the first, calls I made where somebody actually picked up, right? I told the person I was new, and they said, you know, why did you, I said, you're actually my first call. And she said, I feel so honored. Why did you choose to call me? And I was like, your name starts with A. You were at the top of the list and you answered the phone first. And that's kind of how I did it. And I would just work my way down, the phone list in the beginning and just call people until somebody picked up and or called me back. That was always awesome when people would call me back. And until I built up a rapport with people, and I got to know them a little bit, and I got to trust them, and I knew when they would be available. And now I don't have trouble getting my calls in. There's any number of people that I can call at any time of the day. So if anybody needs a call, feel free. I love getting calls. If I can answer, I will throughout the day. And if I can't, if I don't pick up, it just means I have something else going on. Leave a message. I'll get back to you. All right. I'm going to pass. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie. Okay, meetings. Would someone please read and pitch on meetings? Can we have a volunteer to read and pitch on meetings, please?
Reverend Tell, let's move on to writing. We'll come back. I don't see, maybe
sure.
Pamela has stepped out.
There we okay. go. All right, do we have a sponsor available to read and pitch on literature and writing?
Hi, this is Ruth from Connecticut.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome.
Literature. We study the textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we've harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. Again, my name is Ruth. I'm in Connecticut. I was thinking as I was reading this about the how I used literature and writing before I came to OA How. Certainly I'd read a lot of self-help books. Before I came to How, when I was in OA, I had gotten all the literature. I just didn't read it. I'd also gotten a lot of non-program approved kind of 12-step oriented literature, but I just really didn't read them. I hadn't read the Big Book except whatever I had read in meetings. And I guess I'd read the OA book on the 12 and 12, a Brown Book and 12 and 12 in the meetings that I've been to over the many years. But it wasn't until I came to OA How that I actually studied them and went through, I think I've read all the books now that I own. So that's a difference. And then also with the writing, I used to, I did keep journals and things before. I didn't write consistently, but they were, not the kind of writing that I do now, because they were just really negative. I guess it was mostly negative thinking. That was just, you know, I could look back in old journals and they would be saying the same kinds of things. And now I really find that reading, writing, and then sharing it with a sponsor, and then maybe I'll even talk in a hookup later about what I had read, that it... it reinforces it in my mind, and maybe it doesn't quite hit me as I'm writing it, but then when I read it back to my sponsor, it comes out in a different way. So I do feel like it definitely contributes to my spiritual growth and understanding about addiction. And although the understanding hasn't really gotten me too far, it really is the spiritual aspect of this program that is what helps me. So I see I just have a minute left. I also, with writing, I plan my food at night. I do my 10th step, I do my gratitudes. And then in the morning, I like to do my reading and writing in the morning. I also at night will write and plan my food. That used to take me a really long time at the beginning. So if you're new, don't get discouraged. All of these tools get easier. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth. Okay, we'll go back to meetings. Would someone please read and pitch on meetings?
Sure. Thank you. Here I am.
Thanks, Pamela. My name.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi. This is Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict, 2-hour house sponsor. Meetings are gathering of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. I like to try and attend two HOW meetings a week. That just gives me a little more boost. I find that because I live here in Sarasota and we had a face-to-face meeting here when I first came in and was able to meet OA HOW people face-to-face. And I still have several of them that still live here in Sarasota, and I have a constant contact with them, which is nice. There are two or three of them that are what we call snowbirds. So they come back in the fall and leave before it gets really hot down here in Sarasota. It's really really nice to see someone on a weekly basis and brings them, oh gracious, no, I forgot. Oh, to see how they grow and how they work their program from week to week is really interesting to watch. And at that meeting, I can also talk a problem or a situation over with them. I trust them in that room completely. I was unable to help in the way that I've been taught to, which is help set up and but my arthritic hands and my brucitis shoulders don't allow me to do that, things like that, like lift chairs and even the folding chairs are too much for me. I try to keep in contact with these people, and now I'm participating in this meeting on a regular basis, and I really feel welcomed here. And and you know, when we have these meetings, we have a common problem, and we all have some kind of form of overeating, undereating, bulimia, you know, all those different types of food problems. And in one way or another, I can identify with everybody, which I love. And that's why I can't, I choose not to use my AA program for my eating program. I find for myself that it's two different programs. One is for alcohol and one is for
food. Time's up, Pamela. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. I didn't see you notify me. Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thank well, you, Pamela. Good stuff.
Pamela.
Okay, service.
Hi, everyone. Hi. For some reason, hold on a sec. There we go. Okay, I'm Jane, compulsive eater.
Hey, Jane,
gonna,
welcome.
Hey, Jane, welcome.
I'm going to read to you the tool of service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back to what we have so generously, give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. I was just thinking about how apt it is that this tool is mentioned last, because really, going to meetings is a form of service. We all have to be here for it to happen. The telephone is an act of service. Answering the phone, making the calls, allowing other people to be connected and to be of service and get their calls in. Anonymity, continuing to create a safe space is an act of service. So if we can do that really well, it's makes the meeting safer. Sponsorship is probably the most obvious form of service. I know that when I got about midway through the 70th question, started to get nervous because I thought, I've only been doing this how thing for 3 months. I'm going to be expected to do some sponsoring. It's kind of crazy. But how, I don't know. It was a very gentle way in. I temp sponsored, so I would just hear people's reading and writing or their food mistakes. And then after I kind of got the hang of how my sponsor was sponsoring me, and that I knew I could use her or others as a resource if I wasn't sure what to do next with a sponsee, I put my hat in the ring, and probably for the last 5 or 6 months, I've been sponsoring people in the mornings, and it's really lovely. I really like it. The last thing I'll say about service is it's occurred to me a few times in the meetings, and I've never mentioned it, but, you know, because we don't drink alcohol in HOW, we qualify as members of AA, because the only requirement there is a desire to not drink alcohol. And we have that desire in order to maintain our abstinence in HOW. And, I happen to be a member of AA, but if I wasn't, I would still feel welcome in their meetings. And oftentimes when I've shared at AA meetings, I will mention that I have also an issue with food, and I attend meetings for that. And you'd be amazed at how many women will chat, like in the chat, connect with me to ask me what I'm doing. And a woman recently had specifically heard of HOW and wondered if maybe I'd heard of it too and could give her some feedback on that. So I find that attraction in AA meetings to have helped a lot of people find some answers. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you,
Jane. Thanks, Jane.
Okay, just trying to get my, here we go. Okay, so thank you very much. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? Yay, service.
Woo, yay, service.
Yay, service.
Stand up. All righty. The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other.
Can't hear.
Let me try that again. Let's start that piece again here. All right. So the Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and the best time to call. And is there anyone who's new, brand new here today?
Hi, I'm new.
Hi, new. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'll go first, I guess. I'm Cassie. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, so that's also Central Time. And my phone number is 402-709-4436. I'm relatively free throughout the day, so feel free to call whenever. I usually stop taking phone calls around 8 o'clock at night, but I'll get back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Bryn in Wisconsin. I'm on this meeting for the first time, but I am a two-hour sponsor. Anybody wants to give me a call, it's 715-832-6108 in the Central Time Zone. 715-832-6108.
Okay. Are there any other newcomers on the line or online?
I'm new. How are you?
Hi there.
I'm Jamie. And this is, you guys are very brave people. And I guess I am struggling with eating badly. And I kind of don't know where to go, to be blunt with you guys. It's a very cruddy place to be. And there are just so many issues surrounding food that we could probably collectively write a multi-thousand page book on this. And I'm just kind of looking for a hand. Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Jamie.
Welcome,
coming
Jamie.
Back.
Welcome, Jamie.
Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks.
My name is Jamie. I'm glad you're here. My name is Rebecca S., and I am new to this meeting, but just almost 6 months into OA How. I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Welcome, Rebecca.
Welcome, Rebecca.
Welcome, Rebecca.
Okay. Is there anyone else who's new here tonight on the phone or online? Okay. All right. This meeting has ASL.
Levitel, we have Jane.
Oh, we do. Okay. Please go ahead, Jane. Is Jane on the line?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Jane in Toronto. It's my first time at this meeting. Thanks.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Great. Okay.
Hi. My name is April. I'm new to this meeting.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, April.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Georgia. Gio. And I'm new to this meeting. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And it just came through our inner group, and I decided to come and, attend your meeting, and it's been great. Thank you.
Welcome, Gio.
Thank you.
Hi, Gio. Welcome.
Welcome.
Is there anyone else who is new here tonight would like to introduce themselves? Okay. All right, this meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. Okay, and may we please have a treasurer's report? Have we got a treasurer's report tonight? Do we have a treasurer's report tonight? Okay, I see there's no treasurer's report tonight. And so welcome, newcomers. And we'll move along here. Our seventh tradition. Seventh tradition helps this meeting. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting to provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, and develop other live OA face-to-face groups and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Okay, so now we have the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. This is from the Big Book, pages 83 and 84. Are there any announcements tonight?
Right here, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Mary, thank you.
Sheila and I, our service is to find people to lead the meetings. And I'm looking for leaders for the last three Tuesdays in August. That's the 11th, be the 18th, and the 25th. So you can either contact me or Sheila. My phone numbers and contact information is in the chat. But also, you actually can sign up right on the web invitation that you get. There's a place you can sign up to do that as well. So. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Are there any other announcements tonight? Okay, so we'll move along here.
Hi, this is Howard, compulsive overeater. Hi there. So you may have noticed that we do not have our interpreters on the meeting. We are still in search of, we're still doing outreach to try and reach more people who are interested, especially in Minnesota. So until we can find, since the funding is kind of geared to Minnesota, until we can find people from Minnesota, we're not going to have our interpreters. And so we're just trying to, you know, continue to do outreach to reach out to the deaf community and hopefully get our interpreters back. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Are there any other announcements tonight? Okay, we will move along here. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at Virtual Intergroups Resources page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. Okay, it is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, so do we have anyone celebrating an anniversary tonight or a medallion? Is there anyone who would like a medallion? Okay, forgive me, backup team here. I don't have the script for announcing medallions, but I do know that we have one medallion that is for those who have the desire to remain abstinent. Is there anyone who would like a medallion, the desire to, part of their desire to remain abstinent?
I'm Kelly, I'm a compulsive overeater. I have sixty days on Friday.
All right. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Kelly.
60 days. Good job. Thank you.
Do you like a medallion sent to you?
Sure.
Okay. If you could add your name and phone number to and maybe just the word medallion in brackets, and I will follow up on that after.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Terrific. Congratulations to you.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else who's celebrating or wishing to request a medallion tonight?
Hi, I'm Laura. Yesterday was 30 days in OA.
Congratulations, Laura.
All right, Laura. Yay,
all right.
Congratulations, Laura.
Yeah, way to go.
If you would like to have a medallion mailed to you, please add your name and phone number and the word medallion in brackets, the amount of time, and I will look into that at the end of the meeting, and we'll have that sent out to you as well if you would like. Is there anyone else celebrating an anniversary or would like to request a medallion? Now we have the special medallion, which is the coin of desire. You don't need to have any particular length of abstinence, simply the desire to become abstinent. And that's available for those who, I see a message here that Jane raised her hand. Jane, were you looking for a coin of desire or is there a particular number of years? Perhaps you want to add that. What's that?
Coin of desire.
Okay, Jane. All right. Well, welcome. Welcome. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yay, Jane.
Okay.
All right, Jane. Glad you're here.
Good job.
Add your name and in brackets, coin of desire, and your telephone number, and I will follow up on all the folks who requested a medallion tonight. Thank you. Wonderful. Is there anyone else who would like to request a medallion tonight? Particular celebration, any length of abstinence? Okay, so we're going to move along here. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask our group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has completed the 3 steps of the program and is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups tonight? Okay, looks like not tonight. Something else that we do at this meeting is we celebrate anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence, according to the OA group handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries tonight? Okay, looks like no anniversaries. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step up or anniversary via the link on our website. Okay, so now the leader qualifies for 10 minutes. I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict.
Mervital, I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is Megan. You were muted for a second. I didn't hear if you asked me for a particular timing prompt.
I didn't. I was just looking at the clock, but I would love a time prompt. Would you please let me know when there are 2 minutes left?
You got it.
Thank you. Wonderful. Okay, so I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital, and I'm just going to start by saying I try to remember to say that first and foremost, I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater, and then I share my name, because first and foremost, OA is our ideal. It's not about who I am and what I've accomplished. It's what this program has done for me, and what it was like for me is I ate to sedate. I didn't even realize I was doing that. I just thought I had cravings. I didn't realize how many emotions were underneath those cravings. And quite frankly, having done a lot of inventories, I didn't stand a chance. I was born at 10 and a half pounds in the middle of a war to an overweight mom who was probably a compulsive overeater herself. So I think this was my destiny, is my destiny. I ate. I learned to eat in order to find pleasure and comfort amidst a lot of pain, conscious or preconscious or subconscious. And the habit turned into an addiction. My body needed the chemistry in order to just feel normal. And then I would go shopping to compensate, because I knew that eventually my girth would expand to the point where at my highest, I was 100 pounds overweight, very moody, food foggy, isolating, pretending like I'm not isolating, and very much living in illusion and delusion of who I thought I was and what I thought the world saw me as. And basically what happened was I thought I was going to tackle this. I knew, I understood physically that food can heal and food can kill. So I decided after high school to apply for a university degree, and I was going to specialize in nutrition and tackle this thing once and for all. I knew how to diet. I had willpower to exercise my weight down and restrict the eating, but that willpower didn't last me for the long term. And so it was up and down as a binge eater. It was just, so long as I had my will, I could will my way through a restricting dietary plan. But you know what? What I found out was that as soon as I put the food down, followed a particular food plan, the emotions came up. And that's because what's happening now in program in my life is I learned that I am wired differently as a food addict. And in classic step one fashion, which I didn't learn until I came to this program, until I came to HOW specifically, what I learned is that when life is unmanageable, I become powerlessly attracted to food. I have food thoughts and cravings, and eventually what I thought was succumbing to food, I learned was actually very powerful. I thought it was powerlessness. I'm powerless. I've got cravings. I gotta feed the cravings. wrong. What I was doing is trying to overpower those cravings by sedating them with food so that I can have some pleasure and peace. The problem is that I never dealt with the emotions and the thoughts and the stinking thinking and the terrible outlook on life through the addictive lens. I never dealt with that. I simply ate to sedate, and that was very powerful. I threw food at the problem to make the problem go away. What I learned is that I had to rethink what powerlessness meant. And what it meant today, what I know, is that when I have food thoughts or cravings, life is unmanageable. And what it means for me is that I need to be willing to surrender to that. So pardon the potty mouth, we're in a private meeting here. I need to be willing to feel like shit, feel like crap, and take that to inventory, talk to my sponsor, talk to trusted fellows, share my stuff, and have some trusted witnesses. I'm going to wrap it up here. Have some trusted witnesses walk me through and witness my inventory so that I can recalibrate my thinking. And miracle of miracles, the cravings and thoughts are lifted. There's no need to feed outside of my food plan, and recovery carries on one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share tonight. And so that would be me.
Thanks, Rabbi Till.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, and so now I'd like to introduce Howard, who qualifies for 20 minutes. Howard, take it away.
Thank you.
Welcome, Howard.
Welcome, Howard.
Thank you. Hi
welcome.
There.
Hey, Howard.
Hi. Say, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater, and speaking for tonight. And I just, before I kind of talk a little bit about, you know, kind of where I've come from, I just want to mention that I have within me enough frustration and anger and disappointment and fear and sadness, bitterness, and resentment to easily justify eating myself to death. I don't do that, but I don't do that, and I don't feel that thanks to this program. But I know that if I ever went out there, all of that would be right up in my face again. And so this is one reason that I am so committed to this program and love this program, is that I don't have to live in that. And I have had a really reasonable, healthy, productive life because of it. So I grew up in a fairly normal, I guess, normal kind of household. I call it quirky. My sister was started her own business at 13. And I kind of got pulled, you know, I just saw this person develop, do this at an early age. And she would drag me, she's 10 years older. She would drag me downtown when she would visit shops and stuff like that. My dad had a grocery store. He closed at midnight. He would come home after midnight and eat dinner. My mom would make dinner for him. So I kid about being a night person, but it's kind of ground into me from an early age. That was kind of our where who we were as a family. My extended family were like really smart and opinionated, maybe not the best combination, but that's kind of how they were, how we were. So, and I grew up in kind of an interesting family. I wasn't a compulsive overeater at early age. I kind of felt that I had this kind of hole within me, this kind of like an emptiness and insecurity. But I was not eating at an early age, had a sweet tooth, but I was really athletic and really active and out there and playing sports and stuff like that. I remember, though, as I got into my late teens and early 20s, it started to kick in. I started to just turn to food more and more just for comfort. More, it seemed like more entertaining initially. And, you know, initially it was kind of like maybe on Friday or over the weekend. And then it just started getting more frequent and more frequent until it was, you know, pretty much every day that I was binging. I was going out late to the all-night grocery store and loading up on things and eating part of it on the way home and finishing up in front of the TV. You know, I had kind of this permanent stain around my feet on my sofa, you know, right around the, and I sat there all the time, and one side of the sofa was lower than the other because I just had that one spot where I ate and then spilled a lot, I guess, in front of me. So, and so this kind of evolved. And I remember I was working for the county and I was part of a bowling team, and someone on the team had a potluck dinner at their home. And she was a friend of mine. And so I went out to this potluck on a Saturday, like late morning into the afternoon. And I remember eating, the food was just packed in this room. And so I had kind of a normal looking lunch. And after lunch was over, I waited until people kind of filtered out of the den where we were eating, and then went back. It was a beautiful day. Then went back out in the garden, outside by the barbecue there. And you know, once it kind of emptied out, I went up and filled up the plate with a bunch of sweet, desserty kind of things. And I just started wandering through the house. And this is a house I've never been in before. And I just am looking for a place to eat. And, you know, so I find a room that's under construction. The door is off the entry. There's plastic over the door. The power was out. There was sheets over some tables and furniture, but there were some extra tables in there. I think in case they needed them for the party, they had some tables there. So I went into a room without any lights. I sit down at the table and I just started eating the food in front of me. And after a minute or two, I look up and there's someone else in the room at a table just ahead of me. And I see in front of him, there are a bunch of drinks, you know, highball, shot glasses, a beer. And so this person is drinking and I'm in there eating. And we don't say a word to each other. I kind of scarf down the food on my plate. I kind of pick up the, you know, what I have and the silverware, and I leave the room and I slip out of the room and go back to the party. In a while, I kind of, I leave, a short time I leave. And I see my friend at work actually a couple weeks later, and I say, hey, it was a great party. I haven't seen you for a little bit. Thanks for inviting me. And she says, oh yeah, you know, I appreciate that. It was really great. But I've been away. We had to do an intervention on my brother who's had a drinking problem for years. And we finally got him into a treatment program. We had a family, you know, intervention, and he finally acknowledged it was a problem. And so he's in treatment. And I said, well, good for him. Good for him. You know, I didn't get it. You know, I didn't see that we were in that room for the same place. Now I can look back and see that as kind of a reference point, you know, in my progression of addiction. That was like a really key moment in time. And I think what it also represents is when I read this section of the big book, it says that may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. But the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly any exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking or eating on the basis of self-knowledge. This is a point we wish to emphasize and re-emphasize, to smash home upon our alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience. So that was, I think, a crossing point for me. You know, what is represented in this big book, this statement that I had crossed the line. You know, I when I started getting really bad, from this point on, I still had this idea that I would figure this out. I would understand. So I would learn why I'm eating, you know, and figure it out, and then I would be fine. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with food. But I had crossed that line where there the understanding was gone. I think what it means, and I'm, you know, just kind of speculating, is that the emotions, the problems became kind of the excuse for the eating. You know, I ate when I felt bad, but, you know, I felt bad all the time. Isn't that interesting? And also, I think I, you know, I would want to eat and I would retrieve negative emotions and experiences and bad ideas to help me justify. I somehow felt the worst when I wanted to eat the most. So I'm convinced, and I look back, that a symptom or a component of compulsive eating is low self-esteem. The only way I really was able to raise my self-esteem was stop eating compulsively. So I've continued, you know, I just had to let go. I had to turn these problems over to a higher power, work the steps around them, talk to people, ask for help, and kind of in the reality move beyond this. I ended up in OA years later through someone leaving a book for me at a workplace. And I kind of planted a seed, and I end up going to OA. And, you know, I struggled in OA for over a year. But went to a really strong meeting. The meeting was started by a group of alcoholic women who are also compulsive overeaters. And so I heard really strong recovery. And in time, my mind started to shift. And after I got back from a retreat, for a weekend, I asked someone in the car to sponsor me. And that was like my first big step. That was an acknowledgement, looking back, that I was ready to do this. And I don't know what it was about that day. I don't know what it was about that moment, but for something within me, I said, you know, this is my problem. I can't keep putting this off. I can't keep waiting. I can't keep blaming. I have to deal with this today. And I think in that moment is when I kind of entered the program. I kind of started my process of, you know, working with a sponsor, reading the big book, working the steps, making my amends, doing service. This became my spirituality. This is my, you know, I look at the steps and making amends and doing the service and being responsible as my spiritual program. This is what works for me. And it's just been a great journey. I mean, it's been 30 some years. I'm still here. I'm still learning. I'm still doing this. I'm still not, you know, I'm still trying to get it together. So I'm grateful for everybody on this meeting. I'm grateful that OA is still here and that I can be part of it and be engaged. And you know, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you very much. All right. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches. Do we have actually timekeeper? Are we good for time? I think we're good for time. Yeah.
We have like time for one short one, I think. We usually start to try to finish up at about 8:57, something like that.
Okay. So let's see who, the floor is now open for a quick pitch. If anyone has a burning desire, we'd love to hear from you. In How Meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Please turn on your camera and unmute yourself. Unmute. Okay. Anybody have a burning desire to share? Is anyone inspired tonight? Okay. All right. So I think we will just say thank you for tonight. So I want to thank you all for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Howard. Thank you, Howard, and who offered so much of himself tonight. May we please have a reading of Just for Today.
Hi, all. Thank you. It's Sarah, compulsive overeater. Here's the reading for Just for Today. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
All right. Where are we here? Okay. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. And so thank you to the ASL service that's made available to us when we need it. Okay, closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here tonight should safely remain here as we respect and cherish the tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove the compulsion in time and give you the contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, would those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer? Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves and let's pray for those who are still suffering.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference, and the wisdom to know the difference, will not mine be done. Amen.
All right, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Great meeting.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good week.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for coming, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, Howard.
Thank you.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Howard.
Thank you, everyone, for, my name is Georgia, or Gio, and I'm from Portland, and I just stumbled upon your meeting, and so it was very inspirational to me. I just recommitted myself to abstinence, and this was wonderful. Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Welcome, Gio.
Thanks, Gio.
Thanks.
Glad you're here.
Uh-huh. I'll be back.
All right.
Good. We'll be here.
Back.
Great.
Fun. Thanks for a great meeting tonight. And
thanks for leading, Repital.
Awesome.
Thanks, Repital.
Great. Thank you, Howard. Thanks, everyone. And Megan, for the timing support. Thank you.
I'm always afraid I'm going to screw up.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. All right. Let's see. Anybody else? All right, Howard. I'm going to bed.
It's getting late out there.
It is. You know I'm already a pumpkin. All right. See you next week. I'm leading next week, so if you have any specific tips you want me
to know. Let's talk over the weekend or so.
Sounds good. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Natalie. Thanks, Howard.
Bye-bye.
I know.
Howard, I'm just getting some addresses out of the private chat for medallions here, so I'm not quite going yet.
All right. Say, Heidi, do you want me to send you the chat?
I just did the last bit here. Is there a way to save it? Is there a way for me to save it?
I think future? So. Yeah, I think okay. If you look on, there's three dots right at the bottom of the chat where you type. I think if you click on the three dots, it gives you an option to save the chat.
See, I don't have three dots. I'm on my phone, so I don't think I have the options that other people have. But I normally get them all, and I talk to people ahead of time, but I had two people at the very end, one I didn't even know or didn't even mention for a medallion, said, hey, will you send me a chip? And I said, you know, sure. So I just got last-minute ones. Normally, I've got them all down.
Okay, great.
So I felt awkward at the treasury report. It's Lewis, correct? I mean, nobody was waiting for me for anything. Okay.
No. Yeah. We're not. We got to get more kind of an official turnover.
I got that, but I just thought I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to embarrass anybody or anything.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if you were waiting for me, so I just didn't say anything.
No, I was just hoping Levitel would just say, let's just move on.
Right. And I didn't want to say there isn't one, because I thought it's not really for me to say either, but unless someone was waiting for me, so I didn't know. But
we have one, we just,
Have a report. Yep, that's fine.
I don't have a report, yeah.
Okay, well, hey, thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, it was fun. Once in a while, it's fun.